For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements of you. Our faithful K100 fans have been proven it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife Mickey James were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout-out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout-out to Jay, and huge congrats on your awesome progress, and shout-out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100, that's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com, Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So, been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Baca's proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case
that
of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling, if like we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're. I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's right. Kind of like, yeah. So we're helping, we're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you
think they
about
appreciate that?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Let's hit the mailbag this week. I look at some of the headlines. I do not. One thing that's I don't know what Joe and Conan do. Conan, do you get the emails too? Because Joe sends you the emails, or just me?
Yeah, but he sends them really late, so I never have time to read.
Okay,
them.
So you read them for the first time, but like I never.
Sometimes he will literally send them 1 minute before the show.
Right. So and I will. I do not proofread these. Like I can count on five fingers the amount of times I've actually like read some of the emails before I'm reading them for the first time on the show. So just let me know. Like all our reactions to these emails are genuine and in real time. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So next is from JG, and the subject is Ricky Starks. What the deuce has happened to absolute Ricky Starks? I see a lot of potential Ricky, so I'm definitely perplexed by his latest booking in AEW. He went from world title bout versus MJF to pretty much irrelevancy. Could it be some petty heat for showing up to support Cody in WWE? What are your guys' thoughts and insight on this matter, Ricky's current situation? Thanks, 100 JG from Jersey. First, this one sentence here, maybe Joe, you know about this. Could it be some petty heat for showing up to support Cody in WWE? What is that story? I don't know that story. Do you know that, Joe?
When Cody returned at the Rumble, his little entourage click he had with him, Ricky Starks was there. So he was backstage at WWE at the Rumble, at least, maybe Mania.
Really?
Too. Yeah.
That's interesting because that could very well, I don't know. It's all speculation, obviously, but that could
no,
be.
No, but that could be heat because if you were to do that in Mexico, you'd have mega heat. And
really?
Depending on who you are, probably fired. Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you're at the competitor's dressing room. What are you doing there?
Yeah, maybe that's why, because I'm telling you, nobody will disagree. Ricky Starks was on an upward trajectory. They started giving him mic time. He was killing it on the mic, holding his own against MJF. Got Elliot, you know, went over, won that title and stuff, and then next thing you know, he's wrestling, you know, Juice Robinson, and like he went back down the card. Well,
by the same token, and, you know, we've said this millions of times, probably other 10 guys that are in Ricky Stark's position where they've mishandled them.
Right.
So you don't know which one it is.
Yeah. One thing I have noticed is that it's kind of like, you know, but bro, Tony needs to, you know, that comes from inexperience. Is how do you elevate characters? You know, elevating a character is kind of a difficult process because what you have to do is like, you know, it's like if you like the Boston Bruins, the New York Rangers, and the Las Vegas Golden Knights, right? And the Vegas Golden Knights are 500, and the other, you know, if you're a booker, like you got to have Vegas like beat the teams that you're still promoting and you still like to elevate them above characters that you're already elevated and don't really want to lose. But that's what you have to do to elevate the next characters. They got to go over the guys that you don't really think should be losing. But that's how characters get elevated, is when they beat guys you do not expect them to beat. And guys that are higher in the card. It's like I don't see it. Like we said, you don't see a lot of that AEW, correct?
No. And the thing is that everything's hard if you don't know how to do it. Like I know how to elevate characters, right? Mm-hmm. But it's weird to me that Tony, who is a mega, mega fan, probably more than me or you, okay? And he was on these little chat rooms and all the stuff that he was doing that he didn't learn how to elevate people, you know? Right. And so that's kind of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. Next is from Forrester Grillo. He's a regular. How many submissions do you think Forrester Grillo's had in this mailbag, Joe, over the years?
25.
25 or more, right? Easily.
Yeah.
The subject is the worst from the best. Sorry if I sound a little glum in my email today. This WGA strike is shutting down the productions of a lot of big movies and TV shows I was hyped for, especially a Marvel remake of a vampire classic. I'm just so addicted to The Blade.
Okay, what's this guy's name?
Forrester Grillo.
Okay, let me tell you what's going to happen, Forrest. Since you tried to be funny, we're suspending you. Joe, please annotate that. Even though it was your joke that started this, we should suspend you too.
Yeah, right.
And number two, we won't read the rest of the letter. So right. You want to come on here and be a...
Yeah.
You want to read the rest?
Yeah, you know what? Well, no, right. You're right. Because he put it so early in the email that we're just going to shut it down. All right?
Right. This is a squash match.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, if you guys want to put your stupid-ass jokes, you better put them at the end, okay?
Right.
Next is from Theo Combo, and the subject is Kimberly Page's cat. Oh, this is interesting. I listened to this clip, too. Hey, K100 crew, I want to share something interesting from the 83 Weeks podcast. Bischoff mentioned he had a big issue with DDP's wife because her cat was unfriendly and didn't like him. He made a disrespectful comment about the cat, and since then, Kimberly Page never liked him. Now, I'm curious. Do you have any stories about Kimberly Page's infamous cat? I have no stories about the cat because the cat didn't – I never had an interaction with the cat. But, like, I didn't live far from Page, and I would go over to Page's house every now and then, okay? Eric lived down the street. I think they lived in the same subdivision, okay? So yeah. Eric probably spent more time at Page's house than I did, obviously. But this was a funny story. Joe, put this in the Patreon, okay. I mean, because I don't want to listen to it. But basically, him and Kim and Kimberly never really got along very well. And Eric thinks it's because of the cat, because he didn't like the cat. The cat didn't like him. He didn't like the cat, and he got the residual heat for not liking the cat from Kimberly. And I so some funny stories. Put it in the Patreon, but that'd be interesting. Next is from Heath N, and the subject is Disco versus Scott Hall, December 1st, 1997. Got a quick question for Disco. I noticed your December 97 match with Scott Hall, that Hall's first chest slap to you in the corner looked like he did it with some extra authority. Do you remember this? I cringed through my phone watching. Did you maybe throw a shoot slap beforehand he was given a receipt, or was it just a spur-of-the-moment thing? Thanks for listening. Well, first of all, okay, me and Scott were friends, all right? And the fact that you thought that he looked like he threw some extra stuff, that shows you what a good worker he was. And I would sell chops very well. And so it was just that was just all performance to make him look good. But if you do watch the whole clip, watch the chops I throw to him beforehand. I light him up too.
Yeah, I got and it he right here. If you want to?
You want to put it on? Put it on. Just show that in shape.
See it too. Yeah.
Because I'm not. You know, I didn't do a lot of chops. But this was a called spot. Hey, give me a couple chops, and I'm gonna turn you around and give you a couple big ones. That's it. All right, cool. This is us working. Okay, go ahead.
Look at what he's doing. Look at the aggressive mixture. They just go inferno and use him against Scott Hall. Hall is heading up, though.
Pick it up, Stone! Pick it up, Stone! Pick it up, Stone!
Yeah. He lit me up, but like I said, I lit him up, too.
Yeah, you know, but before that. So let me explain something to you. That's how Scott Hall chops.
Right.
And so he would... Even like when we were in house shows, he chopped me the fuck out of me. I was like, bro, yeah. It's a house show. Chill out. You know, but that was,
yeah.
But that he did it to everybody, bro.
Right.
That was everybody. Just like Juventud. Juventud would chop the shit out of you.
Yes.
Benoit would chop the shit out of you. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
That's just the thing. It's, you wrestle some guys that they're going right. to chop you. Like you right. wrestle Flair, you're going to get chopped. You wrestle Hoover, you're going to get chopped. You wrestle Hall, you get chopped. You wrestle who else? Benoit, you're going to get chopped. You know, so that and but the truth, honestly,
and it was a who, that would always get a pop.
Yes.
If you slap and people hear it.
Here was the worst. The giant chopped me a couple times, the overhand right. chop like that, and that didn't right. feel great, okay?
Right.
But the chop that hurt me the most in my career, they don't really hurt, but they don't feel good. You know, you're not getting injured from a chop, right. but you're like I said, it's like when you're growing up, you're getting – if your dad – pulls out the hickory stick and whoops your ass, it's not going to feel good, but you're not going to get injured. You know, you're going to get your ass whooped, you know, which is what happened, right? But the worst one
even,
ever,
even
Ming.
Even,
Ming.
Wow.
Ming, because he had these – he had like a ribeye steak for a hand. You know, right. it was like a big, thick hand with big teeth. And he was right. like, you know, boom. And he wasn't very good at – he wasn't like the – like the flare chop where he chops right. you and like his hand hits your chest and goes through. It was yeah. like, I'm going to chop you and it's your direct hit to your chest and it's going to knock you down. You know, right. it's just what it did. It's like, oh my God. It's like, you know, whatever. But I'd take chops all day as opposed to taking bumps on my neck, you know, so that'd feel worse. So
mm-hmm.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling, all right? So make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you got to get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off with the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths. That's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, beard hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Yeah. Okay, so no more of that with the beard hedger. It comes with titanium-coated T-blades that are tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging all the time. And next to kit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Start with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner, specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, it's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's got like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off for free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so next one's from Buck Nasty, and the subject's Wrestlers Union. Big fan of the show and your work in WCW, just curious. With the potential for injury for professional wrestlers, is there any serious talk among wrestlers to form a union? You think a union can improve conditions? Is there any potential for wrestlers as a whole? There's never been talk about a union. Nobody wants to. First of all, I've talked about this, you know, repeatedly in the past. We've had these discussions when Andrew Yang supposedly was supposed to go after the WWE and unionize wrestlers, and that was just nothing happened because you can't find. First of all, the most difficult problem the professional wrestling business would have is find a union leader. Who's going to be the union leader? The discussion kind of starts and ends right there. Like, who's going to be the union leader?
Plus
like that person, like names off the top of your head would be like, oh, this person. Well, how do you even know that person wants to unionize?
Yeah.
So the whole conversation just does not even have a starting point in the professional wrestling business. And then number two, it's like, who is unionized? The guys that are on TV or everybody that wrestles in a ring in indies and stuff?
Yeah.
And if you have yo, every professional wrestler joins a union and we have union rules and stuff and all that, bro, now promoters, it's going to cost them more money to run their shows.
Yeah,
so you're going to basically, I would
unionize the two big companies because it's a shame and it's fucking highway robbery that we don't have pensions, that we don't get overtime, that we don't have workman's comp. There's so many things that we get fucked on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I just think
that we could argue that another day, but I would disagree. I would not want to.
Why would you disagree?
Because I thought it was fine the way the system was set up.
I didn't.
Yeah. You know, I mean, here's the thing.
Football players and basketball players get a pension. Why don't we? You know.
I don't know. You know what should bring on the show to discuss this is Ryback, because he's been very outspoken about unions and stuff, like unionizing. He thinks all professional wrestlers should get paid the same. Like, there's a lot of questions that we should have a discussion with that. Joe, trying to ask Ryback if he wants to come on and talk about the process of unionizing professional wrestling, what it would entail, because that's a whole show almost, you know. But I'd discuss it. There's way too much to talk to.
No problem.
So, yeah. All right. Next is from Ben, and the subject is Victor Jovica, whatever that is. Does that name? What's up, Disco? The question for Conan. Do you have any Victor Jovica stories? He was quite the character. Thanks.
Victor Jovica was like part owner of Carlos Colon promotion, and I think he was from Yugoslavia. And he'd been in Puerto Rico forever, and he was mega, mega over because he was a wrestler first. And his Spanish was very broken, and they were notoriously late for paying you. So I would always hear him tell other wrestlers, and he would tell me the same thing. You know, it would be a Saturday show. You'd ask for a draw, or you'd ask for money that was owed to you. And he'd always say, Monday, go to bank. I pay you. So you'd have to go to fucking Monday and meet him at a fucking bank. So he would pay you. And he also ran the fucking, he was mega, mega over, dude. But he also ran, his girlfriend ran the empanada stands. You know what those are, the empanadas?
Yeah.
So during the show, I would get hungry. And outside of the arena, they have these things called pinchos, which are incredible. It's like a skewer, and they put like barbecue beef on it, like chunks. And then they put like this really soft, it's almost like Cuban bread. And then they put another piece of meat and a Cuban. It's incredible, bro. So they would have pinchos outside, and inside they would run the empanada thing. So I would always go during the show, and I'd get like two empanadas and a Coke. This motherfucker would actually come up to me, and he would say, hey, you, the last 3 weeks, four empanadas, two Cokes, two pinchos, it's so much money. And I'm like, wait a minute, motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wait a minute, motherfucker.
This guy's like the Oakland A's. Like, remember the Oakland A's owner had to pay for Cokes?
Soda. Right. Let me see if I got this right. You pay me late. You send me on the worst flights possible. Bro, they used to send me on this thing that it said on the, when they would send me the email, it would say cheapflights.com, right? So I'd have to go to two or three cities before I ever hit Puerto Rico. I go, you send me, I'm fucking these long ass fucking things, and you're going to charge me for these fucking empanadas. So I went and I told Carlos Colon, I go, hey, just so you know, this is happening. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And the next time I went to get empanadas, the lady was like, yeah, I have orders not to give you anything unless you pay. And I was like,
damn.
You hit the man.
My boy, Victor.
You're turning the guy out of business, but with him eating too many empanadas.
Yo te veo lunes, dinero. Yo te veo lunes. I see you Monday, money. Yeah.
Next is from also Garrison, the subject is Mia Yim. I'm a big fan of Mia Yim, but her WWE run has been hot garbage. Her coming in as new member of the OC was good, but then AJ broke his leg or ankle, which basically shut down all the careers of the members for 2 to 3 months. Now AJ Styles is back. The OC gimmick is back on, and what I'm writing to ask you guys is, what do you think the rest of her 2023 should be like? She's really hot, she can wrestle really well, etc. I'm hoping for a Ripley versus Yim feud for SummerSlam. What do you guys think? And Disco, you're my dude, but I can't believe you'd ever consider bringing Billy back for K100 Sports. Just talk to Billy off the air about sports if you need to. Your audience can't stand him. If he comes back, your fans will drop the show again. We have no desire to bring him back right now, but I said if Billy could rehabilitate himself on social media, which has been his problem, he was at, you know, we had no issues with the conversation. I don't know if people, would you consider Billy's appearances on the show, do you think that upset our fans, or do you think was the social media stuff that upset the fans?
Well, I think the appearances where he would shit on the audience and call the wrestling fans fat virgin Martin. I think that probably did, and he wasn't very respectful of the audience.
Right. He still isn't very respectful of the audience. He thinks the wrestling fans are losers. I'm like, dude, that's
This is what I told them. I go, the biggest loser is you because you're fucking arguing with them.
Right.
Who's the bigger loser, them or you?
Right. I don't know. It's like crazy. But like I said, he's very knowledgeable in sports. So that's like whatever.
Yeah,
but fuck all that.
All the drama isn't worth it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
So what is
Mia Yim? Well, she blocks me on Twitter, so I can't. I'm not going to say a lot of positive things about her, but as a worker, she's not bad. But I just don't care about her, and they've done nothing with her to make me care about her. You know, so that's a lot of performers in the business today. Is they just don't have the ability to maybe care about what they're doing on the show. So you got any comment, Conan?
Well, the thing is that she doesn't really have or she hasn't shown a lot of charisma. I haven't really heard any real good mic work. And when she's gone out there to wrestle, people don't care. Who cares if her wrestling is good? You need to have a personality and a character and a persona and a good storyline. And she, I don't know if she has any charisma. I haven't really seen it yet. You know, maybe they put in a good storyline and it'll pop. You know, maybe there's something hidden there that we haven't seen. But so far, I've seen not too much in her.
Okay, so the next one's going to be from Cody. You might have some insight on this because I don't. And this is surprising for me to read. It's from Yumi Matsumoto. Subject is Hip Hop Dom. Hello, Keep It 100. Word on the street, or in this case, the internet, is that Dominic Mysterio is a very talented freestyle rapper. Recently, Raquel Gonzalez, also known as Raquel Rodriguez in WWE, praised Dominic, saying that he's a really good freestyle rapper who can transition from Spanish to English. Me being a longtime fan of hip-hop, the story definitely caught my attention and curiosity. So obviously, I had to send this question to Conan. You being the godfather and a bit of a hip-hop aficionado yourself, as well as someone who has rapped, you would know better than anyone else. So can you confirm or deny that he raps? And if so, how good are his skills? Can he come up with lyrics off the top of his head? Does he sound like Rakim or Big Daddy Kane? Or does he have a smooth flow like Slick Rick the Ruler? Maybe he sounds like Kid Frost when going from Spanish to English. What's his style, K-Dog? Take care, and that's from Yumi Matsumoto.
Yeah, I've never heard of this ever, so, you know, and I've heard, and I've been in the car with him listening to hip-hop, and I've never even heard him sing hip-hop, you know, sing along the song. No way he ever sounds like Kid Frost, because Kid Frost has a very deep voice. But I don't know anything about this. I don't know. Maybe he did rap to Raquel Gonzalez, and he's got skills. Next time I see him, I'm going to ask him.
Joe, look that up. Google Raquel Gonzalez, Dom Mysterio, hip-hop rapper.
Yeah.
Or freestyle rapper. See if there's an actual story from this, because we might have to flag this whole email for misinformation. Okay, because this could be just a whole misinformed email, which would get this guy suspension for a week. Next one's from Beto Garcia, and the subject is border in Florida. How's it, players? It's your homeboy from the 415 and formerly known as G4150351 on Discord. I'm sure you've all seen the ongoing...
I would ask people to quit refraining to themselves by their Discord number.
That's his actual... I go in the Discord every once in a while. That's actually the guy's name in the Discord. Yeah. G4150351. What do you see? Prominently. Right. Oh, he did change it, okay. Surprised you've all seen the ongoing issue at the Texas and Mexico border, which Venezuelan, other Latinos, Haitians, and Chinese have rushed to the border. Not surprisingly, white Texans have taken up arms as the homeless population has skyrocketed. Florida getting rid of mainly all Latino immigrants, which people have called for all Florida products to be boycotted. Immigrants are cheap labor, and Americans won't work for below minimum wage, no health insurance, no union benefits over 401k. So how do you see this all playing out? Stay righteous, mentally, and physically healthy. I will say this, and Ron DeSantis is right about this. Bro, all these people showing up at the border, it's mainly a lot of, you know, young working class, working males, working age males. And DeSantis going, I'm just going to, you know, if I get in charge of the border, we're going to get all these bogus asylum claims. Like, there's no way all these people are like a bunch of men are like when you think of asylum and you think of a country that's got to say, who do you expect to see coming to seek asylum?
Yeah, women and children.
Women and children. And this is all like adult males seeking asylum. It's like, come on. It's like, you gotta be kidding me, you know? That's all. That's BS. So, I don't know. What do you think, Conan? Conan knows more about this than I do because he goes to Mexico all the time. Conan.
Oh, you saying, Joe?
Just that it's kind of related. I saw that the New York mayor, Eric Adams, wants to have the sanctuary city status of New York City revoked. Because he says they can't handle them. Yeah,
it's great, bro. All their policies play great on social media, but when you try to apply them in real life, they come across as idiotic. You know, so
well, here's a piece of it that's a little ugly, and I don't think a lot of people are going to appreciate this. You know, if they hear it, is the fact that New York does put up homeless veterans like in hotels and stuff like that, and some of these guys have been told they got to vacate because the incoming migrants are going to take their rooms.
Yeah, so this is not.
Can't do that to veterans.
Open border policy is not going to play well when it starts the trickle down effect starts happening, where it comes to your, like, bro, the funny how the left wing media kind of portrayed this as like human trafficking and stuff. But the funniest thing was like, bro, the Texas governor, he just started sending all the immigrants to all these left wing sanctuary cities. When they got there, they were all upset that they were sending the migrants there. It's like, dude, you're the one that had the sanctuary city, not us. It's like, we're sending them to your place. Like, they got mad. It's like hysterical, you know?
I saw, too, it said something like, in the past week or so, 350 migrants have been bused to Philadelphia, and only 50 have stayed. So 300 migrants were like, oh, Philly? Nah, I don't want to stay there.
That's great. Next one's from Sean Barsh.
The Raquel Rodriguez thing. She said in an interview with Billboard that she said, as far as Dom's freestyle skills, he's really good. I heard he does some freestyling sometimes in the cars with the boys, and he goes in between Spanish and English, so it's really, really good.
She said she's heard?
She's heard that he's really good, yeah.
So she hasn't heard it.
That's what I would gather.
And Conan has been in the car and listened to hip hop with Dominic, and he's never heard it. And that's what she's saying, is like, she's heard that Dom is good at freestyle rap in the car, and Conan has empirical evidence that that has never happened when he's been with him. So we're gonna flag that email for misinformation. We're gonna suspend the person for a week, unless they can show any proof. Or maybe we can get Dom on. Conan, maybe we can ask Dom if he text him. Do you freestyle rap? Okay, because when somebody's saying that you freestyle rap, all right? And I never heard that.
All right, let me just say something about the immigration issue, because the immigration issue is very much like the homeless issue. You know, since they can't vote, nobody really gives a fuck about them, and all the administrations have kicked the can down the street, and they haven't fixed anything. Like, now, your boy Governor Newsom, he started to spend all these billions of dollars on relocating them and putting them in tents and hotels and RVs and shit like that. Even here, you can see it in Chula Vista, it's already taken effect. But they haven't come up with a comprehensive plan for these immigrants. And it's just weird to me how, you know, like, for example, here in California, Governor Brown, back like in 2000, I don't know, 13, 14, 15, around that area, he said that you could issue a driver's license to anybody, regardless of immigration status. And I'm like, why would you do that? And the reason they did that is because they're making billions by people paying for driver's license and insurance, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, to me, it's like, if you're undocumented, you can get Medi-Cal here in California, which is like the California health insurance program, you know, mm-hmm. from our taxes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not with any of that. If you're not here legally, if you didn't go through the process, you shouldn't get anything, bro. And that's very weird to me, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I was reading this thing about back in the day, this is how kind of racist we were, or ignorant, culturally ignorant, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. They had this thing that was like the Chinese Exclusion Amendment Act, whatever the fuck it was called. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't... If you were from China, you couldn't get into the country, you know, right. or Asian places. And then they had a thing where, like, if you had if you were a homosexual, if you were if you had I think the word they actually use is idiot, you know, if right. like you were an idiot,
idiot is a form of mental retard. If you look at mental retardation. There's three classifications of mental retardation. It's imbecile, moron, and idiot. Okay.
Right.
And I think imbecile is your IQ is 50 to 75. I think moron is 25 to 50. If you're below 25, you're an idiot. Right. So so go ahead.
It's called the Chinese Exclusion Act, Conan.
Right. Right. And so,
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, you know, it's been just really weird, some of the stuff that we've done. But getting back to immigration, what they need to do is they put Band-Aids on this because nobody wants to take care of the problem because you don't get no votes from these people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's a huge problem. And you got to do something about it. You've got to bring them in legally, put them into the system, you know. And one of the reasons that they were saying that they were giving the driver's license out was because some of their kids were born in the United States and they needed to take them to school. Well, okay, your kid's legal. You're not, right. You know? So I'm really against all that fucking super snowflake shit they do in California.
Yeah. Next one's from Sean Bersigian. Somebody's Andre the Giant. K100 crew. I'm fascinated by Andre the Giant. Always have been. I read recently in Bobby the Brain's book that he walked in on Andre and a woman one time, and it looked like a horse and hen fucking. Have you ever heard of how big his meat was? It has been said online that it was the size of several beer cans stacked. Conrad had a running skin to shows with how big's Batista's dick. What is it with wrestling, dick size, and even on WWE when they say grown men slapping meat? There's plenty of meat slapping around. Sean Bergeson, Northeast Philly. Alright, I'm not even gonna... Okay, this whole letter sounds like a troll that this guy wants us to talk about male genitalia and stuff like that. So we're going to suspend him from the mailbag for a week for a really ridiculous, idiotic line of questions.
And poor representation of Philadelphia as well.
Right, trying to trap us in an insane and in a nonsense. Yeah. Next one's CJ Emanuel. Here we go. Interesting. You ready for this?
Yep.
The subject is Vegas Vacation Testimonial. Greetings, Conan, Disco, and Feeny. My wife and I kept our much-needed getaway from the kids' vacation in Vegas with a visit to Sapphire, the world's largest gentlemen's club. I called 702-869-0003 and said I'm a K100 podcast listener and mentioned Disco's name. They immediately sent a limo bus with a stripper pole to pick us up. Upon arrival, Glenn met us with complimentary entry and a free round of drinks. We got lap dances from two of the thickest Colombian and or Cuban hotties I've ever seen, Grandes Tetas Jugosas. Tons of hot chicks of all nationalities, something for everybody. One dancer was so good, my wife tipped her nicely. One was so bad, some of the other girls behind me cut promos on her. Tremendous. Disco is a very gracious host, and the entire staff treated us well. We'll definitely be back. Not a recommendation, just a testimonial. Boom. Respects, CJ Emanuel, San Antonio, Texas. P.S. I forgot to ask a question. Please excuse the Iranian tobacco I consumed as I composed this letter. P.P.S. Are you all down for an Eagles music roundtable after the top disco songs roundtable?
Yeah, well, it's disco, then Chicago, then we can do the Eagles.
Right. Yeah, I would do the Eagles.
Sure. What do you think about the testimonial of CJ Emanuel for the trip to Sapphire?
Well, everybody that's ever been there, including my boy Dominic, has always put it over, so I'm sure he's correct. My question, CJ Emanuel, is did he visit the Shake Shack, a.k.a. Different Strokes?
Yeah,
that's just a question.
Disrespectful. Okay. Next is from Niall Foster. The subject is fine. On the recent episode of AEW Dynamite, John Moxley was once again caught on camera blading. I think this honestly may be the sixth time this has happened since AEW, no joke. My question is, though, should Tony Khan start fining John Moxley? He's clearly learning nothing from these botches. There's no way that AEW aren't aware of all the memes and Twitter clips making fun of it. So why does it keep happening? Could John Moxley be effing around on purpose? I don't think the production team should get the blame for John Moxley flat out lying in the corner face up and blame himself. Well, they should because they're shooting it, and the director can say, cut, go to another shot. Okay, so it's both of their faults. Okay? By the way, the final thing is I hear Billy's return to the Russo show has been a disaster already.
I like the way this guy was always saying, oh, you only read bad things about me, because that's basically what people send, bad things right, about you.
I know, it's like, yeah. So next is
we did read the good things too.
Yeah, we did. We read everything.
I agree 100% with everything you said, Disco. It's both their faults because you've got a guy in a truck and he's looking at six cameras and he's saying camera one, camera three, camera four. Can you imagine if somebody streaked into the middle of the ring and they kept the camera on them? So, yeah, the producer should be pulling away. But Moxley is more to blame because he keeps doing it and not hiding it.
I would want to ask, okay, because I don't know enough information on this. I would ask, hey, is Moxley telling you guys when he's going to blade? because that's what you, bro. That's a big spot in the match.
Yeah, but once they see, color, they should pull away. They stay there
right.
too long.
I'm aware of that. But
and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Let's say Moxley says, "Oh well, the cameras will cut it away." You've seen three or four times it hasn't happened. So why aren't you going to them and tell them not to show you when you're blading? And the other thing is, even if the cameras don't catch you, how about all the people with fucking phones there?
Yeah. I will say, did you see Moxley take shots at the possibly us?
Right.
And that, Joe, do you have the comments from Moxley when he's taking shots at the old head podcasters? What was the term he used?
Let me find out here. Yeah,
he took some shots at like the talking head podcaster guys or something like that. Like I you know, whatever. So that like we're negative, typical snowflake guy negative. You know, we're negative. And stuff. Try and find that.
Oh, okay.
What does he say?
John Moxley believes the BCC rivalry with the Elite is the cutting edge of pro wrestling and has harsh words for critics of the company. Turning point. During an interview with Sports Illustrated, John Moxley explained why the BCC and the Elite is the hottest thing in pro wrestling right now. This rivalry between us is the cutting edge of the business. You might be more into something else, but look who is involved here. Kenny Omega, Brian Danielson, Claudio. The Young Bucks may be the greatest tag team of all time. Even if you think I effing suck, you still have all these greats. A lot of people out there hate on the Bucks and Kenny Omega. We're obviously attacking them, have our issues with them, but we're not old ass effing bitter dudes with podcasts talking about how the business used to be. We are not that.
We're old ass bitter dudes talking about how
the here's the thing that in AAA in Mexico, you should see the amount of abuse that I receive, that I'm an idiot, that I don't know what I'm doing, that I'm a bunch of shit. I don't really give a fuck.
Lucha Blog is the guy that's they're kind of
They don't really attack me as much as they used to because I think they figured out it wasn't me that was making all those dumb fucking moves when they, you know, 10 years ago. And but, you know, they're always trying to be smart asses and think they know more than me. But anyways, I really don't give a fuck about them either. But the thing is this. What were we talking about? Oh, Moxley. We've talked good about him before. I've never heard him say anything about that if he is referring to us. Plus, bro, I receive a lot of criticism, too. That's part of the job. We've put you over when you've done cool shit. But, you know, we've also made fun of him when he wasn't in shape. You know, right. I was also made fun of him for a long time when he came out of the janitor's room or whatever the fuck that was.
Right.
You know, and when I would meet him in AEW, you know, the first time he was very evasive, kind
like
of
like if you're walking, if he was walking towards you and he saw you, you could see him like maybe like. Put his head down or not want to make eye contact, like one of those type of deals, or just go the other way.
Right, exactly like that. Like we were by the pool and we were kind of like walking towards each other and then he either turned around or started talking to somebody.
Right.
And I was going to say, what's up? And then the second time that I saw him, which was the last time I was in AEW, I went into his dressing room for somebody was in there that I said hi to and I didn't know it was his dressing room. And I was like, hey, and he was like, hey, you know, like, you know, get the fuck out of my dressing room. So obviously he doesn't take criticism well, but bro, he can't tell me that he's not at home watching TV and criticizing other people when they do shit that he isn't, you know, that he doesn't like. Everybody criticizes. Everybody has a fucking opinion.
All these guys, when they're done, they're going to have the ability to start a podcast and people are going to write in letters and ask them questions. They're going to have a forum and a platform to like, you know, critique and give their opinions of everything else that's going on in professional wrestling, you know, from an educated standpoint. You know, he's not going to be some Mark podcaster or some data. He's going to be a guy that's done it, that's been there and done that. So, you know, whatever. But like right now, it's just funny. Like like I said, and maybe this, you know, I'm just on the end of the bell curve. Like you said, like I just have none of this stuff. Like criticism just does not bother me. I retweet criticism of myself. I just say I don't block anybody. I just because like this doesn't really mean much to me. Like in the big picture, it's like all I'm doing on the show is just giving you people my opinions of things that I'm watching. It's like a movie review every week. You know, it's like you don't like my reviews. All right, I don't care. It's like that's not changing my perspective when I'm watching a show from an educated standpoint and look at it like what I think mistakes or people are making and I point them out. You know, you don't like that? Big deal, bro. Don't sit there and tell me we're, you know, what washed up, you know, guys at the business passes by. Dude, you're getting caught blading on TV repeatedly.
We would have never been caught doing that.
We've never been caught doing it. Right, ever. It's just something you, and like it defeats, it completely defeats the purpose of what you're doing.
When I was in Lucha Underground, they asked me to bleed, right?
Right.
And so we were doing this angle with Prince Puma. And I did it so fast that they were like, when did you do it?
Right.
I was like, that's just it.
Right. Well, I'm saying, like, dude, it's like you're bleeding. You're trying to sell the story that the guy is busting you open, but you're openly showing you're cutting yourself. Right. Okay, so if you don't like the criticism of that, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. You're doing it wrong, period. Right. And it's like you can't talk your way out of that, you know?
As much as we've done in the business, there's absolutely nothing anybody, the young guys could learn from us, or is it just as long as you agree with everything they're doing, they'll listen. But the moment that you say anything that goes against, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then you're whatever, bitter, irrelevant,
right,
looking for a buzz, clout chasing, all that bullshit.
Next is from Ramon Sanchez, subject is anti-script culture in AEW. Good evening, fellas. I'm 100% with you guys when it comes to lack of backstage interviews and promos to push storylines. Push storylines, character development, and feuds in AEW. Do you guys think that's because of the fact that WWE is overused scripting to the point where TK and the AEW hardcores straight up despise it? Or do you think it's the case where TK just doesn't trust his contracted talents with promos, or it's just a lack of creative imagination when it comes to storytelling? Thanks, fellas, and keep doing what you're doing. It's like, bro, it could be all of that. I mean, the fact is they pride themselves as they're not scripting promos. It's like, well, dude, I can, with the exception of like MJF and a couple guys, and like if you look at like their backstage promos that they do, I can't point with maybe Darby's been good at it, right? But bro, every backstage promo that these guys have or the situation does absolutely nothing for anybody. And if you're letting the guys do that themselves, you're not writing the promos for them, and they're not getting over, that's everybody's fault. It's Tony's fault. It's the talent's fault. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, but we can't, you can't sit there and watch a show and not think that these backstage promos and stuff are just atrocious. Like they do, they say the same things every week. You have a match at Rampage on Friday. Okay, I'm going to beat you. I'm going to see you at Rampage. I don't know. It's like, do you agree with that? I mean, it's really not that much to disagree with.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. Next is from Travis. Oh, this is interesting. Don Callis, bad performance in AEW. I always heard what you guys say about AEW and bad booking. Recently, as I write, Don Callis tried to pull a Paul Heyman 2002, screwing his boy like Paul did to Lesnar. In my opinion, Don should have had no emotion, just looked at Omega, then left, made people wonder why. Instead, right away, he was pandering to the crowd, seeking approval or a holy crap chant. Here it is. If you don't remember, do you have the clip, Joe?
Yeah.
He was the golden booker of Impact, and now he is seeking the approval of the marks like everyone in AEW does. What are your thoughts on Don Callis' performance here? Let's watch this.
Watch his buddy's back. Omega from behind! That was the opening that Kenny needed. The ripcord feed trigger! Omega, he's going to do it! This is it! Omega! Yes! Winged Angel! Kenny did it! What the hell did Don Callis do? What are you laughing about? He's got a mark on his head, courtesy of the Blackpool Combat Club. What's he doing? Don Callis has told us for years he considers Omega family. And Moxley, no!
All right, that's enough. The guy's absolutely right. He did kind of – he was right. Don should have just looked right down at him and stared at him, and they should have caught that facial. Instead, he was playing to the crowd. So that was a reasonable criticism. Do you agree with that criticism, Conan?
Not really. I don't think he was just playing to the – I don't see it that way. But
well, the guy said he should have hit him and just kind of like stayed there and stared at him.
Right, and that
you know, like kind of like you know, like why did he do that? What you know? But instead, he's kind of like, yeah, he was like doing nodding approval, like yeah, I just screwed the guy. You know, I don't know. I would agree with this.
He was happy. He was a prick, but the guy says that this was taken from Paul Heyman 2002. I got news for you, bro. That what Don Callis just did, I've been seeing that since the '70s. That's nothing new.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early. So everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.